From Washington, D.C., the Mutual Broadcasting System brings you now an address by the President of the United States, Dwight D. Eisenhower. President Eisenhower appeared a short time ago before the National Conference on Civil Rights in the presidential room of Washington's Stettler Hotel. The president's informal remarks were directed to state leaders in the civil rights field attending a two-day meeting. Ways to end racial bias in voting, housing, education, and other vital civil rights matters were discussed at the conference sponsored by the Federal Civil Rights Commission. President Eisenhower is introduced by Chairman John A. Hanna of the Federal Civil Rights Commission.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, and my friends, I came over here this morning primarily to thank you for your undertaking of a work that in my mind is one of vital, prime importance to the United States and to its future. Because the problem in which you're involved is an emotional one, it is certain that you have to have qualities of courage to undertake it. But above the quality of courage, it is quite necessary that we have within our breasts, if we are to do this work, those feelings of compassion, consideration, and justice that derive from our concepts of moral law. And I say moral law rather than statutory law because I happen to be one of those people who has very little faith in the ability of statutory law to change the human heart or to eliminate prejudice. I think that the Congress was very wise in establishing this commission, because the very purpose of the commission is conciliatory, fact-finding, giving examples to us, indeed at times I think holding up before us all a mirror, so that we may see ourselves, what we are doing and what we are not doing, and therefore making it easier for us to correct. There can be no doubt that America has not reached perfection in attaining the lofty ideals laid down for us in our founding documents and in the amendments that are made to our Constitution. But the important thing is that we go ahead, that there is progress. This does not necessarily mean revolution. In my mind, it means evolution. This is what we're talking about. We are saying that the concept of equality among men is equality in their opportunities, that we do not deny them opportunity. I think no one could find complete equality against between any two individuals living in the world if we wanted to take absolute values in all of their spiritual, intellectual, and physical connotations. But we can talk about equality of opportunity guaranteed to each person in this nation. So, just as the commissioner and the commissioners, the members of that commission, have undertaken a job that is difficult, so each of these state smaller commissions and committees have done the same. and the progress that you are going to help achieve is that of education, of promoting understanding, of getting people to see that we can come nearer to achieving our ideals without necessarily, or maybe not even wisely, trying to place on our statute books too many punitive laws. And if I may digress from the exact subject of which I am speaking, and which, of course, is occupying your thoughts and efforts while you're here, I should like to talk about this word understanding for just a moment. The federal government, in both its legislative and executive branches, is involved in many problems that are most difficult of solution. In fact, some of them under particular and conditions of the earth of the present seem almost to defy solution, and all that we can do is to hold the line and wait for some change in either material or, let us say, a mental conditions in which people are living. But the strong thing that must be behind the whole effort of the United States to bring about higher standards of living in our own country, to make certain that free areas do not go under the domination of communism, to make certain that our alliances are stronger through the intellectual, spiritual, and material development of those countries with which we are allied. To do all these things, we need at home understanding of the basic issues. We are too often swayed by slogans. For example, in the fields in which the United States is attempting to help other free countries so that we together may be safer and stronger and more confident, we use the slogan, giveaway. I submit any intelligent man that will look at the world today and can find it in his heart to condemn America's purpose and her efforts to bring other free nations into a higher level, which they can be sturdier and better allies and more effective allies, then he's found a line of reasoning which I cannot follow. In all of our domestic problems, of which the one now before you, the equality of opportunity of all men, regardless of inconsequential considerations, comes in the same category of demanding understanding. Whether it be the farm program, the debt program, the need for reducing federal expenditures, how we want to expand in one direction and contract in another, all of this demands understanding. And none of these problems, when you come down to it, can be dealt with in a vacuum. They are not mutually exclusive. In all cases, almost, you will find them interdependent. As we achieve a better level of equality of opportunity in this country, our own national prestige and leadership is enhanced. Our economic problems are involved often with this same subject with which you are now dealing. Therefore, not only by achieving and helping to develop a better understanding in these basic issues, may we help solve the problem that you are specifically concerned this morning, but by bringing your own minds and hearts to focus on this particular question, you help to develop better understanding through the whole of the United States. Remember, in our democracy, the only motivating, energizing force is public opinion. If that public opinion is well informed, then the United States will act wisely and strongly and fairly at home and abroad. And so, you are not solving, in my opinion, or helping to solve just one problem. You are working for America. And I say to you, in my opinion, there can be no better thing to do. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, before you leave, on behalf of all of the members of this conference, we would like to express to you our sincere gratitude for your willingness to come here on this very busy day of yours. We recognize fully the weight of the burdens and responsibilities that you carry, and your coming here this morning and speaking the words that you have to us convinces all of us that the problem in which we're working is an important one, and it makes our work seem that much more worthwhile. And, sir, you may be interested in knowing that there are here today either the chairman or the vice chairman or one or two members of the advisory committees to the Commission on Civil Rights from 48 of our 50 states. We are very grateful to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard an informal talk on civil rights by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who spoke a short time ago to delegates attending the two-day civil rights conference sponsored in Washington by the Federal Civil Rights Commission. President Eisenhower addressed state leaders in the civil rights field, gathered here in a meeting at the Statler Hotel in Washington. Delegates from the Commission's State Advisory Commission, organized in nearly every state, discussed ways to end racial bias in voting, housing, and education. Their recommendations will be considered for inclusion in the Commission's report to the President and to the Congress. President Eisenhower warned today against attempting to assure the civil rights of Americans by passing too many punitive laws. The chief executive told the civil rights delegates, "It would be impossible to achieve the complete concept of equality among men in any form of civilization." Mr. Eisenhower said those interested in civil rights could promote equal opportunity by encouraging the widest possible understanding of human problems rather than relying completely on rigid federal legislation. The Washington conference, incidentally, is being held to gather more facts and try to define the most difficult minority group problems, chiefly with respect to equal protection of the laws in each state. Advisory committees are made up of unpaid citizens representing a cross-section of state population. Roundtable sessions on discrimination in voting, housing, education, employment, administration of justice, and public accommodations have been scheduled. This is Mutual, the world's largest network.